And with that, I guess we'll just dive into the message. Told my wife I struggled all week with this. Probably rewrote it 300 times, and I'll probably rewrite it as I'm giving it. I don't like messages like this, but I also have walked with the Lord long enough to know that He knows what's necessary. This is His house. This is His church. So, a little more meat today, maybe, than milk. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 through 29. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. We can speculate. Regardless, in chapter 12, the apostle is beginning to wind down his message, his letter to the Hebrews. And as he winds it down, he begins to make some distinctions between the new covenant and the old covenant. He's making distinctions now between the mountain that Moses and the children of Israel met him on. That is Mount Sinai, that place where God's voice spoke and it shook the mountain. In fact, it shook the mountain so violently that even Moses himself said, "I'm terrified. I'm trembling with fear." And he's comparing that mountain to Mount Zion, the mountain of joy, the place where we, through our Messiah, through Jesus, are able to come and be with Him. Mount Zion is the city of the living God. And so there are two mountains. Picking up in verse 26, the apostle writes, "At that time, His voice shook the earth." That's God's voice shaking Mount Sinai. "But now He has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." Now, the apostle is quoting a prophecy from Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. And he's going to add some teaching, a little bit of clarification about this particular prophecy. The prophecy was, "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The apostle says the words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. See, Mount Sinai could be shaken. It was natural. And when God spoke, the mountain was shaken. And the apostle continues now, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken," that is Mount Zion, the city of the living God, "let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Let's pray. Lord, help me today to share Your word with Your people. And Father, help me to encourage and strengthen Your people. Father, help me to build them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Just turn the volume down. There you go. You got her. That's all right. Here's the thing, guys. The church knows Him as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. That's how we know Him. We know Him as Daddy. We know Him as the one we come to and run to and climb up in His lap. We have not, in many cases, understood Him as the consuming fire. And that is who He is. We are pretty free and loose with many of the things that we do because He loves us. And again, I'm not mad. I'm just simply saying He said, "Be holy because I am holy." There is a standard that He looks for. This passage out of Hebrews is important for us today, and it's important for the hour that we're living in, because we are entering the time of shaking. Now, there's been many shakings that have happened throughout my life. There's many more shakings left to come. But we are entering an hour of shaking right now. And if you don't recognize it, or you can't recognize it, or you just can't get your head around it, in the coming days, you will probably become frustrated with God. You will probably say, "Why is He letting this happen to me? Why is He not intervening?" Well, because we have entered the hour of the shaking. That's where we are in time. And you just need to simply realize the whole purpose of the shaking is to break loose, to dislodge anything that can be shaken. If it can be shaken, it will be shaken. And see, anything that can be shaken shows it is of natural origins. It's not of eternal origins. Anything that can be shaken lacks the power that will be required to stand up in the coming days. The things in your life that can be shaken simply reveal to you, whatever that little thing happens to be, that it doesn't have its basis in faith. So you come to a situation, everything's falling apart, and you wonder, where's God? Why isn't He doing something for me now? You simply need to understand that there is no basis of faith in what's going on. And I know that's a little bit harsh. But here's the truth, guys. A lot of times, we talk a good game. Church talks a good game. Yes and amen. Glory to Jesus. My God will meet all my needs. Psalm 91, it won't come near me. But the truth is, in many cases, we're not really operating in faith. Not really. What we're really operating in is some sort of a naive hope that God will move on our behalf without any faith being involved. I get a bit of a kick out of the people who are frustrated with the prosperity message. They get a little upset sometimes. They say, well, all you guys do is name it and claim it. Well, some people, that is what they do. They just name it and claim it. And yet they don't actually ever see it. So they've named it and they claimed it. And they still name and claim, but they don't see. In those situations, it's because there's no faith at work. Just hope. Just in some ways, guys, it's almost a naive hope. It's a hope of the uninitiated, of those who don't simply understand that God responds to faith. Now, I have to be careful here because you're going to go home with the wrong impression, and I don't want you to go home with the wrong impression. Your words matter. Words are important. What you say matters. The more you use words, the more you will frame your own world by them. One of the classic examples of this is a compulsive liar. A compulsive liar will tell a lie enough times that pretty soon he starts believing the lie himself. And he has framed his world by words that simply aren't true. Even words that you speak without faith, even words that you say over and over and over, they can actually produce things. Even if you don't apply faith to them, it just takes longer. And they will soon become your reality. I've shared with you a number of times when there was a reason why the angel Gabriel closed the mouth of Zechariah. He said, this is what's going to happen. And Zechariah said, yeah, I don't think so. And he would be silent until John the Baptist was born. He would remain silent until the day he said his name is John. That was actually 8 days after the birth. Here's the really simple takeaway. Zechariah simply couldn't be trusted with his words. He couldn't be left alone with his words. Now, what was born, what has been born in the church out of this hawkish watch over our words, is a generation of Christians from whom you can't seem to get a straight answer. Okay, so we were over here, and now the pendulum has swung all the way over here. You have to understand, they haven't laid hold of any of the promises yet, and that's because they haven't mixed those promises with faith, which is how this works. But they speak out things, and eventually these things will come to pass. But I have to get a kick. You know, people will show up in the prayer line and I'll say, what's going on? Oh, nothing. I'm healed and whole in Jesus' name. Well, then go sit down. Well, no, I'm healed and whole. Do you understand the conflict there? not asking you to deny the truth. I want you to stay in faith, but I think we also have to find a position in our lives where we can lay hold of things by mixing them with faith. Faith will produce, and if it's not producing, something's out of place. These times of shaking, they remove the foolishnesses that are in us. They reveal the flaws. I was thinking about COVID and the time it made its debut. And I told you at that time that COVID was a pop quiz. And it was. And the truth is, it was absolutely nothing more than a pop quiz. Pop quizzes are never the final exam. Pop quizzes are designed to reveal what's not up to par in your understanding. They count for very little towards your final grade, but they are necessary to reveal what you need to know. See, there's portions of the material that the church still doesn't grasp. We talk a good game, but we don't get it yet. And the pop quizzes come so that you can go, wow, I guess I don't have this sorted out in my life. And then you can go back to the book and you can learn what you need to know. You know, I am floored. I am floored by the number of people that I've talked with in the last few weeks that don't even read the Bible. Maybe you're that person. I'm not picking on you. I'm just simply saying, why would you base your eternal security on a book you haven't even bothered reading? I don't understand that. It makes no sense to me. And so COVID came and it shook the world and it shook the church. It was one of the shakings. And you know what? Quite a few people fell out of the trees in that shaking. These weren't bad people. These weren't evil people. They were simply people who were unprepared. I think of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. These unprepared were like the 5 foolish. What do I want to say? They hadn't really taken their Christian walk seriously. I don't know. Are you taking your Christian walk seriously? Are you just hoping that God will sort things out as he goes? Or are you serious about it? The people who failed during COVID, they failed because they had a form of godliness but never actually understood the power of God himself. Look, things didn't go the way I thought they were going to go either, right? As a pastor, I should not get COVID, right? That is completely off the table. And then I got COVID twice. See, when you walk with Jesus, there is a relationship that is born out of a genuine walk with him. Everybody knows who Biden is. Not many of you are walking with him. We might go, yeah, and I ain't going to either. Okay, well, y'all know who Jesus is, and not many are walking with him either. Now, I'm not speaking to you, I'm just saying in general. And the point is the same. I'm not going to either. Because he asks for hard stuff. He wants hard stuff. And I'm not going to bend to what he wants. Here's what happened. The test came, and those folks who were unprepared, they shipwrecked their faith. They left the church. And guys, it wasn't just people who walked away. Whole churches failed. Whole churches ended. And they failed maybe not because people left. I mean, certainly that was an impetus, but the problem was their budgets were absolutely unmanageable. Right? So some of the budgets for some of the churches, I mean, when I first moved to town, I was surprised to see that many of the churches in their newsletter published their budgets. And I told my wife, is that in yen or dollars? That can't possibly be in dollars. How could a church in good conscience spend that much money a month? And so because their budgets were absolutely out of control, a few people stop showing up. They can't meet their debts anymore, and they close. During that year and a half, that which could be shaken was shaken. And it was shaken to the core. And there are some people who have still not come back. I point this out because we're about to enter another time of shaking. And you need to be ready. Because I don't want to see you walk away because you just didn't know God. See, during a shaking, genuine faith is revealed. And people who want to quote scriptures, which I highly encourage, but if all you're doing is quoting scripture and putting no faith behind it, you're fooling yourself. You have to understand the promise belongs to you and you have to lay hold of it. And so I talked to a lot of people during that time that said, you know, Psalm 91, it isn't coming near me. It isn't coming near me. Nope, and then it came near them. And their faith was shaken. How could this have happened? Where's God? What's going on? Some went back to the book and others walked away. I need to remind you, the Lord has been very gracious with us. We're a small group, but He has always been very gracious with us. At that time, the Lord told us that there would be three phases of the shaking. Three phases. Three shoes that would ultimately drop. COVID would be the first, and that would be followed by a financial shaking. And the financial shaking would be followed by a test of unity. And if you think about it, that sure makes a lot of sense. Because once everything falls apart financially, everybody's angry with everybody else. Everybody's mad at everybody else. And then unity must be tested. It's my opinion that we are in the midst of the financial shaking right now. And I say that because all the signs are here. It hasn't unfolded yet, but it's here. And I'm hearing a lot of prophets say, it's over. Don't worry, it's over. Well, here's the thing. I believe it's just beginning. And the reason I say that is not because I want it to be my way, but because I know what God told us. He said it would be a shaking. And the truth is, nothing has been shaken yet. Do you understand? Financially, nothing has really been shaken yet. There's been some troubles. There's been some big troubles, but not a shake. COVID was a shaking. And I know people get frustrated with me. I know they do. You need to stop prophesying bad things, Pastor. Not prophesying bad things. I want you to know that. I'm simply telling you what time it is, because my job as the leader here is to tell you what time it is. It's time to batten down the hatches. Okay, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying go buy MREs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying build a bunker in the desert. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying go stack gold and silver and buy all the Bitcoin you can afford. That's also not what I'm saying. These are things of the world. The shaking that's coming has to do with spiritual issues. What I'm talking about is your faith. I'm saying you need to make sure that your faith is anchored and it's anchored deep. And you need to anchor it to the rock that is immovable. See, friends, a storm is coming. And when storms come, it's interesting. You know, growing up, we always had boats. And you would always see the boats on the shoreline. And you'd see people handle these in very different ways. One guy would, there'd be a big rock on the shore, you know, on the sand. He'd tie his boat to that. Somebody else would, there'd be a tree a few feet off the shoreline. They'd tie their boat to that. When those waves come in, it's going to push the boat right against the rocks. Going to push the boat right into the tree. And when the storm hit, they suffered loss. Shakings, friends, are designed to reveal in you the weak areas in your life. Right? God's not mad. God, it's not punishment. It's time to grow up. Right? I watch a lot of comedians, and I get a kick out of some of them, you know. One guy was talking about the difference between a mom and a dad, you know. Kid's about to put a penny in a light socket, and mom freaks out, goes, grabs a kid, and yells at him. And dad's like, give him a minute, let's see what happens. Okay, God's not mean. He won't let you get hurt. But you do have to learn what's required, and faith is required. And a lot of people are playing games, and there's no faith involved. The people who didn't lose their boats when the storm came in were the people who went out a little bit deeper into the water, and they dropped their anchors in the rocks. Bless you. You understand, you have to anchor deep, and you have to anchor to the rocks. If you anchor to the sand, your boat will be gone in the morning. If you anchor to the rock, everything's going to be okay. And the people that I'm referring to who have anchored to the rock on the shoreline or the tree are the people that are still under this delusion that their mighty right hand is going to save them, that my wisdom is going to take me through this. In a genuine shaking, the wise man's folly is always revealed. Always. It's only those who have anchored deep on the Word of God and who are willing to put their faith in the Word of God, they're the ones who will remain unscathed. What I'm telling you is you have to anchor deep, and you have to anchor to Christ. You can't anchor to MREs or Bitcoin or caves or whatever you think is the solution. Christ is the only solution. And I'm not being negative here, and I'm not trying to raise fears. I get rebuked a lot. You're just bringing fear. I'm not trying to bring fear. You need to understand, some things in this world are predestined. They are going to happen, and you can't change that. Other things, they're not ordained. They will depend largely on our prayers and our intervention and our willingness to stand before God. Give you an example. You can pray that Jesus not come back. You can pray that all day long. It ain't going to change a thing in the world. Because he is coming back. And he's coming back in great power. I've talked with a lot of people that are praying that this war in Israel will come to an end. It's a wonderful prayer. It's a great prayer. But I can tell you that this war is not going to come to an end until the end. This is what the Bible says. That means you need to get comfortable praying the prayer, because we're going to pray it a lot. There's going to be a lot more to come. When the wars in Israel are over, according to the Bible, 2 of every 3 Jews will be dead. We get uptight about Hitler killing 6 million. This is on a scale so much grander. And people get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. These are my prophecies. I'm just telling you what the book says. And when the book says it's going to come to pass, friends, it will come to pass exactly like he said. It will come to pass. And so we need to be careful that we aren't afraid to embrace what God is doing in the earth in the name of trying to put a good face on things. Church loves the idea of pre-trib rapture. And maybe you like that too. I don't know. We can still be friends if you do. I'm not upset about that. But one of the reasons that the church likes that is because they can't come to grips with the fact that God would allow his people to suffer. That makes no sense. God would never allow such things. Let me just read to you. You don't have to turn there. Revelation chapter 13, verse 5 through 7. Now, he mentions 42 months. That means this is the last half of the final 7. It says this, and the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and conquer them. Well, that can't be right. That must be a typo. Somebody's made a mistake somewhere. No, no mistakes, no typos. It's a foretelling of what must come to pass. And why would God allow this? Guys, you need to understand that God brings shakings, not for your destruction, but for your refining. He's not mad. It's time to grow up. I'm not speaking bad things or focusing on bad things. I'm not focusing on the negative. I'm concerned that there are too many people who can't see all the red flags. Too many people can't see the writing on the wall. The storming is coming, and this is your chance to get your boat anchored deep. There's still time. What I'm telling you is another pop quiz is at hand, and you might brush up on the material before it happens. That's all I'm saying. Look, I know some of you are already experiencing the stresses of the financial shaking. I know that you feel backed into a corner, and I know you feel like there's no way out. And I know that because I talk with a lot of people. But let me ask you a question. Isn't that how we felt in COVID? Didn't we feel backed into a corner? Didn't we feel like we were being led into something that we had no control over? But a little ways into it, things started to change. People started to rise up and say, hey, that's enough of this. I'm not doing that anymore. We begin to find our feet. We begin to step out in faith. I'm not prophesying bad things. I'm telling you what time it is. It's time to get your faith mustered. For 2 years now, the Lord has been telling us to get out of debt. 2 years. The window is closing quickly, and I can't help but wonder what it's going to take for some of you to act. I don't know. At some point soon, the window will close, and it will be too late, and the shaking will hit you harder than it will hit other people. And look, I get it. I hear people all the time. Pastor, you don't understand. We don't have any way to get out of debt. Maybe not. Not mad. But you could stop the, you could plug the hole that's in the boat, right? Hemorrhaging cash. Lattes and eating out and all this and that. Plug the hole in the boat. Will Rogers said something just. He said, if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you need to do is stop digging. Okay, so if you found yourself in a financial hole, step one, stop digging. Yeah, maybe you're going to have to change your lifestyle. Here's the thing. You aren't without options. Some of you just need to start sowing. Well, I ain't going to do that. Okay. But I told you. Some of you just need to start tithing. What I'm telling you is put faith and action together. That's what real faith is. Real faith produces something. And I'm not picking on you. I'm not fishing for your money. I'm just reminding you, 10 virgins were invited to the wedding. 5 brought oil with them. You've been invited to a wedding. You might go find some flasks and bring some oil with you. That's all I'm saying. Because when the cry rang out, those without oil, they were in trouble. So what am I saying to you today? I'm saying the window isn't closed yet. There's still time to get out of debt. There's still time to get your house in order. There's still time to go get some oil. Still time to put action with your faith. The Lord spoke to us as a church. He didn't speak to other people. He spoke to us and said, get out of debt. That's what he said. So stop arguing with him and do it. Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. There's no way. You just don't understand. No, you don't understand. He will make a way. Sowing and reaping work. The tithe works. The tithe does not belong to people who won't tithe. You can claim the promise all day long, but if you're not a tither, you've not met the requirements of the tithe. People are going to show up and say, but God, I thought I was going to heaven. He's going to say, did you ever receive me as your Lord and Savior? Did you ever repent? Well, no, but I figured you love me. Okay, it doesn't work like that. If you want the promise, you have to play by the rules. The truth is, some of you just need to reorder your words about your own personal finances. You need to stop cursing your finances. And if you don't, what you'll begin to find is that you're building faith around failure. Your words will take hold. And I have to ask some people, could it be that you'd be better off to be like Zechariah? That God would just shut your mouth for 9 months? We need to stop acting like children. I know what it is to be frustrated. I know what it is to be frustrated. I know what it is to be financially frustrated. But my mouth doesn't rule me. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to acknowledge you're afraid. But then take your stand in faith. Calling things that are not as though they are. Mixing faith with your proclamation. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. I've shared with you a number of times when financial stress comes to my life, and it does. Sometimes I get pretty far sideways. You could ask my wife. But I always come back to Psalm 23:5, the last half, and I always quote it. In the King Jameseth, because I loveth the King Jameseth. My cup runneth over. That's it. That's all I say. My cup runneth over. My cup, I picture my cup, and I picture it just all over the floor, all over everywhere, and it just keeps filling. My cup runneth over. Some of you just need to sit down with your family and you need to pray. You just need to pray together. Do you know we meet, our family, we meet, our church family, Thursday morning, 9 o'clock every week, and we pray for our economy. And do you know what we pray for in large part? We pray that this cup would pass from us. I can't tell you this cup has to come. And so we ask God, would you let this financial disaster pass from us? This financial trouble, disaster may be too strong. And if we don't see the financial shaking, I can tell you in my life, I'm going to chalk it up to Thursday morning prayer because I think we're being effective. I can't tell you though, some things in life are set, some things in life aren't set. Some things have to come and other things don't. I can't tell you if this financial shaking has to come or not. I don't know. But I suspect it probably does. And not because God wants to see us in pain, but because the bride needs to be refined. I told you earlier, Israel is coming to the end of herself. At the end, she will come to the end of herself. But many in the church, we've not come to the end of ourselves. We're nowhere near the end of ourselves. My mighty right hand will solve this problem. Okay. Another reason I'm not convinced this cup can pass from us is that there are prophecies that are still unfulfilled. There is a prophecy of a great transfer of wealth. And that hasn't been fulfilled yet. We've seen pictures of it. When Israel came out of Egypt, she plundered that land. This financial shaking could very well be that transfer of wealth. It could very well be the impetus, a reallocation of money leaving the hands of the wicked and entering the hands of the righteous. Oh, praise the Lord, sign me up. Can I just ask you, could you be entrusted with that kind of wealth? Would it destroy you? Or would you be faithful with it? I can answer the question for you right now. What are you doing with what you have? If you're not faithful with what you have, I can promise you, you won't be faithful with that. Not being mean, just telling you how life is. See, here's the thing. What shakings do, shakings reveal truths that we don't believe are true. There's things in my life that if you ask me what I'm going to do, I tell you I'm going to do this. And then the shaking comes, and guess what I don't do? I'm doing that. The night our Lord was betrayed, Peter was convinced that he was ready to die with Jesus. Convinced. So absolutely certain that before everyone he professed, Lord, I'm ready to die with you. When the rubber met the road, he just wasn't as strong as he thought he was. I'm not picking on him. See, he thought the pop quiz he was going to face, he thought he was going to ace it. It turned out to be one of his greatest failures. But friends, again, it was just a quiz. It wasn't the final. Yes, in typical collegiate fashion, Peter received three pop quizzes back to back to back. And he failed all three of them back to back to back. But can I just tell you, he aced his final. When the final came, there's no question. When the final came, he was ready. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is don't be afraid of pop quizzes. You don't need to rebuke pop quizzes. You need to prepare for them. You don't need to fear the shakings. They come with a purpose. And that purpose is not to destroy you. It's to take you to the next place. It's a design to find out where you're weak, where you're playing church, and where you're actually anchored to the rock. And in these situations, you don't need to boast in your strength, or you don't need to deny your failings. Simply get back in the book and figure out what it is you need to do. I want you to understand this, and then I'll close. Jesus was never upset with Peter. Peter failed him miserably, but Jesus wasn't upset. In fact, Jesus wasn't even surprised. He said, Peter, I prayed for you. I prayed that you would never have any troubles in your life again. Is that what he prayed? No. What did he pray? That your faith not fail. Today, right now, I believe God is interceding for us. Jesus, the great intercessor, I believe he's interceding for us. And he's not asking God that we be spared from the trials of life, that we be spared from the shakings that are coming. He's praying that our faith would not fail under them. I need you to understand this, guys. God did not bring you to this place, to this church, to this hour, and this time to watch you fail. He just didn't. And I know sometimes it looks ugly. Sometimes it looks really bad. He didn't bring you here to watch you fail. He brought you here to lay hold of the kingdom. You were brought to the kingdom for this time, in this place, in this hour. And you're meant to lay hold of it. That means that you are going to have to learn how to trust him. That means in the midst of things that aren't going the way you think they should go, God isn't acting the way you think he should act. It means you're going to have to learn to trust him in spite of all that. Right? I don't walk by what I see. I walk by what I believe. You think, oh yeah, me too, brother. Yeah, well, buckle up. Because when you say those things, they get tested. But we are of those who pass the test, yes? Amen? We'll pass the test. I hope this isn't too hard today. We are going to have to learn to trust him. And so, Father, we come before you, Lord, in great humility. Father, we come before you, Lord Jesus, with our hearts bowed low. Father, teach us what we need to know. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. Empower us with your spirit and with your strength and with your word. And Father, somehow help us to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. Amen.